Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard, Trevor Sycamore with you guys from thedraftnetwork.com. Today is the day, Trevor. Top five wide receivers, 2019 draft eligible group. Are you excited?
This has been a fun top five because I think for the most part, you know, obviously we can't get to everybody. Like all of these guys that people were talking about, and you talked in a previous show saying how awesome it is when fans kind of say, hey, you got to check out this guy, got to check out this guy. Right. Obviously, we don't have the time to get to all of them in the summer scouting, but it seems like, you know, we'd find maybe five-ish guys that we liked from a position group and we'd be able to rank them. But this wide receiver group, I felt like there were legitimately like eight or nine guys that I actually liked. And so this top five was actually pretty fun for me to put together.
Oh, I agree. And Stanley Morgan, a guy we haven't even gotten to. We didn't get to Stanley Morgan. We didn't get to Juwan Johnson from Penn State, Colin Johnson from Texas, Terry Godwin from Georgia is a guy I have a scouting report up on the Draft Network. We didn't even really get to talk about him this week. A very good player, not in my top five, but a very good player. TJ Vasher is a guy our Brad Kelly wrote up for thedraftnetwork.com. He loves him. Marquise Brown has that crazy speed. Didn't you? You mocked Marquise Brown in the first round, didn't you? In your first mock?
I think you did. I put him to the Packers, actually. Yeah.
That speed sells. Van Jefferson, we talked about him a little bit at the beginning of the week, so he's a guy that will be into consideration here as well. Riley Ridley from Georgia we didn't get to talk about this week. He's a guy I like a lot. That's probably in my top 10 receivers at least. So we got to narrow down to five, though, and do it in a preseason fashion. I was really torn. This was super difficult for me. There were at least nine names that I thought were in consideration for top five and probably 10 or 11 guys with growth that I could see competing to be in this top five. So this is
Am I guessing your five?
Yeah, go for it. You guess my top five. This is a very fluid situation right now, but I'm nailing down my top five. This is who I'm going with for now.
Okay. Am I starting with one or five?
Whichever your heart desires.
All right, I'm gonna start at one. I'm just gonna start one and go down the list and then I'm gonna see how many I got right. I think DK Metcalf is your number one.
Okay.
I think Debo Samuel is your number two.
Very good.
I'm going to say Kelvin Harmon is your three. Amon Richards is your four. This is difficult. I'm going to say Denzel Mims is five.
Oh, that's Denzel Mims. No, you're close. You got the first three right. DK Metcalf's number one. Is he the best receiver right now out of this group? No. Debo Samuel is who's number two on my list. But I think Metcalf, when you combine where he is or where he was as a redshirt freshman, where he's headed as a redshirt sophomore, and the unbelievable upside that's there, summer scouting, I'm totally cool with riding with him for wide receiver one. Debo Samuel, I know he said he might not have the greatest upside in the class, but he's so NFL ready. He's a playmaker right now. I think he's an unbelievable football player. I think he's awesome. Kelvin Harmon, number three for me. You're right about that. Again, the contested catchability, really exciting. I do have questions about his athleticism. I could definitely see him out of this top five at some point. I don't think he's a guy that, to me, is locked in there. But I think that he's got to show separation ability, athleticism, and the testing is going to be big at the combine for him as well. So somewhat on the fence with Kelvin Harmon, but what he does on tape is enough for me to say number three. And I don't think he's a bad enough athlete for me to be really worried about him. A.J. Brown is number four for me. I know that we said.
Wait, Brown's your four?
Yes.
You're a coward. Coward! We're talking about A.J. Brown at the beginning of the week, and talking about him not being as good as the other guys as the whole week goes by.
He's not, but he's still talented.
And you're putting him at four?
I know.
You coward.
Listen, I think that A.J. Brown has post-catchability, and he's flashed in the contested catch situations he's been in, which aren't many, the ability to make plays in that way. And he's quick. I don't know if he's fast, long, but he's quick. I think there's a role for him in the NFL to be really productive. He needs to develop. He needs to be able to get off press coverage.
Seventh rounders are quick.
What's that?
Seventh rounders are quick.
Seventh rounders are quick?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. If quickness is your top trait, I feel like I could get it.
It's not a top, but separation quickness, absolutely.
All right, I'm with you.
I would
there.
Like to see him get away from a little more press coverage, but hopefully we'll get those opportunities
this year. I'd like to see you not be a coward in your ranking. But we can't both get what we want, can we?
I would rather be a coward than be wrong. Let's put it that way. DeMarcus Lodge is five for me.
What a sentence. What a sentence there.
DeMarcus Lodge is number five for me. I think he has great speed. I think he has vertical ability. The one thing he has to do, or he's going to be out of the top five, is finish better. I think he needs to catch the football.
You got all three Ole Miss guys, huh?
I do. I have all three of them in that top five. I have four SEC guys in there. But here's the thing. I think Bryan Edwards is really intriguing. He was just outside of that for me. I think Amon Richards is more upside than Harmon, than A.J. Brown. Like, but, man, Richards worse than Lodge as in terms of making catches. Like, he just too many drops, too many bad finishes, still enough rawness, not as developed as Lodge and getting off press coverage and things like that. There's still such a ways for him to go in my mind that I'm a little bit afraid to put him higher. And I think guys like Arcega Whiteside, who's a little bit closer to his ceiling, is polished and can play. But I don't think there's the same ceiling as I see with some of the other guys that I list in the top five. So very tough group to break up. But Denzel Mims, No, Mims wasn't in there. But I do think he has unbelievable upside. He wasn't in my top five, though. He wasn't close to my top five.
I wasn't sure where you were going to go. And I should have veered on the more cautious, more polished, as we see it right now, side, because that's kind of your MO with dudes. So
somewhat, although I like I said, I have AJ Brown in there, so that's kind of, I threw that for a loop there. Your top five receivers in order. Are you ready?
Are you going at one? Are you starting at one?
I'm starting at one. Calvin Harmon is number one for you.
Okay.
And Keel Harry is number two for you. Number three is Amon Richards. Okay. Number three is DK Metcalf.
Okay.
No. Back it up. Number one is Calvin Harmon. Number two is DK Metcalf. Number three is N'Keal Harry. Number four is Amon Richards. Number five is Ratliff Williams.
No, you got four of the names right.
I was kidding about Ratliff Williams. No way he's in your top five.
You only got one spot right.
Okay. All right, you only got one spot right. All right, tell me who your top five are.
Harmon is number one. I think he's awesome. I think he's a complete receiver, although
Harmon? This is Harmon, you said?
Yeah, number one.
Okay.
I think he's a complete receiver. I think there are things that he can certainly work on, but I think that they are like getting off press coverage, being a little bit better with his hands, just being a little bit more crisp in the nuanced little things of playing wide receiver, but man, the way that he catches through contact, the way that he can high point the ball, even though it's odd that he just jumps a little bit weird. Just kind of how strong he is as a receiver. I talked about N'Keal Harry with this, but like being an alpha, like I could see Calvin Harmon being a one, like a guy that you would covet as a one. Now, I don't think he's the fastest in the world when it comes to straight line speed, but I'm so much a fan of the rest of his game. I think I can deal with that. So he's my wide receiver one there. Amon Richards is number two for me, actually. And a lot of the reasons that you talked about.
You call me a coward, but look at this.
As him. I'm bold. I'm the opposite of a coward.
You would rather be bold than be right.
I'm walking.
That's hard to respect, sir. You would rather be bold than be right. Unbelievable.
Amon Richards. I like a lot of the upside that Amon Richards shows. I think that certainly you and I, when we were talking about him in his episode earlier this week about the things that he needs to do better, certainly cleaning up a lot of the technicalities, focusing on limiting way too many drops that he had for as good as he is. But the athleticism that he has, I think the smoothness that's in his game, how he can play so wonderfully at the sideline with his feet and getting himself in bounds and making sure he gets every inch of the field. I just see a guy who has a ton of potential in Amon Richards. I wish he were a little bit bigger. Maybe he's going to put on size for this season. I'm not sure, but we'll see there. DK Metcalf is my number three. You and I both like him a lot. And I think that even though I do have two guys ahead of him right now, certainly for Metcalf's size and speed profile, this is a guy who could very well, you know, we're going into draft season, we're wrapping up the combine, wrapping up pro days, whatever. This guy could very well be at the top of my wide receiver list. We don't know yet because he might not even declare this year, right? I mean, he's got years even beyond this. So we'll have to see with him. It's his first year of eligibility. But, whew, man, does he do a lot of fun stuff for his size and the speed that he has there. I've actually got Deebo Samuel as number four. You and
All right. That's respectable, though.
you and I like him. You like him more than I do. I think that he is – I think that right now Deebo Samuel is a very nice day two player, likely a round two player, because when I look at him, there's a lot of things that you like with how he takes contact, how he catches the ball in the air, even though he is a shorter wide receiver. But I think he's also a player who you can put in a variety of different wide receiver spots, and I think that that's really nice to have that versatility with him, know that he's going to produce from there. I don't think he's the most athletic guy, and obviously because of his size, I'm just not a round one guy on him. You and I had the DJ Moore talk when we were talking about him on the podcast earlier. I'm sure that's something that we're going to continue to talk about throughout the year because a lot of them have the same kind of profile. But I like him, but he's a round two player for me right now. I know he's in your mind a little bit higher than he is for me. And then five for me is N'Keal Harry. There are things that I see N'Keal Harry do that I also see Kelvin Harmon do that are very alluring to me. But I think that Kelvin Harmon is farther along with being a wide receiver on a snap-by-snap basis as somebody who can win in different ways and in the little ways that he needs to win more than N'Keal Harry. But I like a lot of the upside that Harry has, especially how strong he can be at the catch point and some of his, I guess you'll call it like flashes or high plays I really, really like from Harry. And so that is why he is my number five.
Okay. I think one of the best pieces that I've read, period, I think, is Ben Solak's piece on N'Keal Harry that he just wrote for the
draft. He did a very good job with that.
Yep. Yes. And he writes about not just N'Keal Harry's game, but the 95% of plays that don't require elite skills to complete and the 5% of plays that do require elite skills, and that being where N'Keal Harry makes a lot of his living, and the consistency being somewhat of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's a very good piece that everybody should check out, whether you like him or not. He is a very tough evaluation for me. I would probably say he's the hardest out of all the guys that I considered for my top 10. I think that
I thought Mims was tough for me.
Mims was tough. Again, I guess tough because the upside you want to, it's just a matter of how much you buy into the upside. AJ Brown was tough because of his role and a lot of his routes, not even being traditional routes, like run to space type of routes. Hard to project, I think. And I felt like N'Keal Harry was difficult as well in some ways. So, good stuff, man. The wide receiver group, I mean, Brad Kelly, he just told us on in our Slack he thinks Juwan Johnson might be in his tier two. Well, we haven't even talked about Juwan Johnson, the Penn State kid. Mm-hmm. I know he loves TJ Vasher, and Brad's great with wide receivers. So both guys we're going to have to check out. I mean, these are it's a loaded position group. I know not everybody's going to be first rounders, but a lot of talent.
You can really pick your preference in this wide receiver class.
Right.
And anytime that that's the case, you know it's going to be a fun year evaluating and even getting to watch these guys. I mean, obviously, you know, we do this for a job and some people do it as freelancer, as a hobby. But we enjoy watching the things happen and unfold live. And so, you know, tune in every week to make sure you're catching one of these guys, seeing what they're able to do. It's going to be a fun year.
And it's not only just the wide receiver group, but it's the tight end group. And you mentioned it being must-watch type of guys. To me, like South Carolina, you look at Deebo Samuel and Bryan Edwards, both when South Carolina's on, I'm going to try and watch. Like I didn't watch before. You know, I've never cared about South Carolina, but I think they could have two of the best five wide receivers in the country. That's true with Ole Miss and wide receivers. DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, DeMarcus Lodge, when these guys are on, that extends, in my mind, over to Dawson Knox, the tight end. And I know we're talking some tight ends today as well and fitting them into the show. There's not a ton of names that are like high profile names, but the more I watch the tight end class, I think it's a pretty good one. I think there's some guys with some real potential. I think we could have three or four top 100 guys, maybe five or six, depending on who emerges. Guys that didn't play much last year, we always see a 1 year wonder or two come out at tight end. Isn't Dawson Knox one of those guys though? I mean, I've watched him. People have seen, I've written a couple articles now that mention him and talk about him. So people kind of know where I'm at with Dawson Knox, but what did you see when you watched Dawson Knox?
I see a lot of potential in Dawson Knox. I really do. He's erratic at times. Like I think there's times where he's just kind of flailing a little bit, like trying to be frenetic, like trying to have a lot of energy, making sure that he's moving. And it almost like, I think that he's doing a little too much sometimes, but for a guy as big as he is, I think that he's pretty dang athletic. And Ole Miss is not afraid to put him on the end of an offensive line and have him block people. And I don't just mean like linebackers or blitzing safeties and corners. Like I was watching the Mississippi State game. they just put him one-on-one against Montez Sweat like multiple times. And, you know, Dawson, he's not going to hold his own for too long. But, I mean, you can get a good 1-2 seconds out of him holding up a really good pass rusher, I thought, at times. And so that was really encouraging to me about him being a potentially complete tight end, a lot like in the mold where people looked at, I'm not saying that he's to this level yet, but this is the reason why a lot of people liked O.J. Howard as much as they did, because in an age and in a class where O.J. Howard was in there with great receivers like Evan Engram and David Njoku, what put Howard over the top, even though he might not have been as natural or didn't have the production as a receiver that those other guys did, is that he could be that complete tight end player. Mm-hmm. And that's I saw that potential in Dawson Knox. And so I only got a limited look at him. I only got a limited look at his tight end class in general. But in terms of ceiling, you know, we watched Noah Fant as well. And we can talk about him in a second. But I thought that Knox, we talk about like total tight end potential. He's not there yet, but I see his potential being higher than Fant's was.
I agree with you. 6'4", 250. Chase Goodred wrote the other day he runs 4.59 40, and he can jump 37.5 inches. I think he's super athletic. He was a walk-on quarterback. He converted to tight end last year. He was a true sophomore, right? He played as a freshman, but like only on special teams.
Yes.
I don't even know if he had a position as a freshman. He was like a special teams athlete type of guy, and that's really all he did. And this was his first year. This past year was his first year on the field as a tight end. Pretty impressive when you consider that. Some of his routes are good, and he had never played the position. Like, that to me, that's really speaks to, you talk about ceiling. Not only is the ceiling there because of the movement skills and the athleticism, but just it's already developing. Like, he's not like this super raw bundle of talent, but he's developing already. The way that he catches the football outside his frame, adjusting to off-target throws, some of the grabs that he made, both going low and going high, twisting his body around to make some catches last year. People haven't watched enough Dawson Knox, and I get it because the SEC just put out their all preseason teams, and he wasn't first, second, or third team. They went with Albert Oakwig, something crazy last name, who is a good player, a decent player, not even in Knox's caliber, in my opinion. They went with him as the first team tight end. I think they went with Isaac Nauta, who was a five-star, so there you go. Five-star to a walk-on, that's why. They went with Nauta as the second team, and they went with C.J. Conrad from Kentucky, who I fell asleep three times watching his tape. They went with him as the third team tight end. All okay players. I actually like Nauta, and I like okay, but Knox is on another level than all three of those guys. I don't know where they thought they got off doing that, but Knox has to stay healthy. He has to stay on the field. Obviously, tons of targets to go around at Ole Miss. He was productive last year despite that. They do work the middle of the field way more than they work the outside. They like to take their shots on the outside, but on a consistent basis as a pass-heavy offense, they do like to work the middle of the field. So he and A.J. Brown will get a lot of targets this year, I'm assuming. I'm excited. I think he's going to burst onto the radar, and I think we're going to be able to come back to this pod and say, here's a guy nobody was talking about. Here's a guy that wasn't even showing up on tight end lists, and mm-hmm. He might have round one. I think he has round one potential. I don't think that that's crazy to say.
Ooh.
I mean, people are putting Fant in their top 10 players. So now Fant is, people say, is a big wide receiver. You know, Knox needs work with his blocking. Sure, he can do inline stuff, but like, yeah, he's a better receiver than he is a blocker right now. Fant is like non-existent as a blocker. Like,
yeah,
borderline soft.
Yeah, it's not great. Yeah. There were a lot of reps where he just, like even on reps where he was clearly designed to like, hey, this is the guy you are blocking. Dudes would just get around him way too easily. And dudes like half his size too. Like I saw corners just get by him a bunch. And like he's clearly not reliable as a blocker, but right. That's obviously not where he makes his money. He's much more of a receiver than a blocker, which, you know, in today's world in the NFL, you can get by with that. But that's also why his ceiling, I would say, is lower than a guy like Dawson Knox is, who is completely a willing blocker, already shows that he somewhat understands what to do, doesn't know exactly how to do it yet, but when you look at Fant, it's not like, oh, we could develop this guy into a blocker. It's, yeah, no. So a little bit of a risk there.
Yeah, I agree. And I struggle with him a little bit because he does run super well, but like I do tend to think he either has to be physical and to survive in an inline role. And I don't even know that it's kind of like the Gesicki thing a little bit, although Fant to me looks better, like a better athlete on tape. You have to be physical.
Not going to be a better athlete at the combine, though.
Probably not. let's be probably
somehow
not.
Mike Gesicki turned into a Greek god.
In my mind, I want to say Fant will be a better athlete at the because he looks like a better athlete.
It's not going to
happen. But testing will probably not bear that out. But my thing is with Fant is that you basically have to be you have to be a great athlete. Otherwise, you need to play some type of inline role. Right? Like, what advantage are you going to be basically as a flex type of player if you're not a great athlete? Now, I think he'll test well for sure. But like Evan Engram ran 4.42 at like 6'3", 239 pounds. At that point, no one should care. And all his other testing was amazing too. No one should care whether he can, you can call him a big wide receiver if you want. What he is a beast. What he is an offensive weapon. What he is a no-doubter. And he was physical too. He might not have been the best blocker, but he was asked to do stuff and he was physical in the way that he went about his work. He isn't going to be handling DNs one-on-one. Oh, wow, I'm going to cry about that. No, I don't care. The things he can do down the field make up for it. Now, do I see that same level of natural ability in Fant? That's what I'm going to keep coming back to. I think when you watch him, you think,
I don't think
upside.
To that level, but I think he does a lot of things well.
Right.
But if that's the thing, then I don't know if Fant's going to be a, I don't, because what did Engram get drafted? What number?
23, I believe.
Okay, he went 23. Where did Njoku go?
Njoku went 27, I think.
Okay, so you had a tight end going 19, 23, 19, and 27.
Right, yeah. Okay, something like that.
I would.
To me, what I've seen of Fant, now he has another year to go, so it's totally unfair. I don't think he's on those. I don't think he's on the level of those three. Maybe rawness wise, OJ Howard. I've often thought about this too, and I've said, if I had to go back on that draft, did I value the upside of Njoku and Howard too much, considering that Engram was more polished? And I'd said that. I wrote that. Engram was going to be better as a rookie. I said that. But Engram also had pretty great ceiling. So I wonder if I undervalued his ceiling because he was more polished, when really he still had this. Okay, if you're polished and you have a crazy athletic profile, maybe you're just better than those guys. Now, and I think Njoku and Howard are both going to be great. And I think they've already shown flashes of that. I don't know. To me, the one area that'll shore it up is if Njoku and Howard become monsters in contested catches. That was one area that I thought Engram was hit or miss. He made some plays, but he missed some plays too. And that was one area I favored their profile to kind of project better to. So anyway, back to what you were saying. Are any of those guys, is Fant any better than any of those guys as a prospect?
I would say no. I mean, there's a year too to play, but
right.
That's why, I would look at Fant right now and I would say, okay, day two, dude. Nice day two, dude.
Right.
Big bodied receiving weapon.
Right.
Good place in the NFL. It's fine.
I think he's somewhere in that late one to day two.
But I wouldn't be comfortable. I wouldn't be comfortable putting Knox in late round one right now, though. You know? So, I think that both these dudes are day two dudes. I just think that Knox's ceiling is higher.
Yeah. I tend to agree. There's a couple other tight ends to watch. The Missouri kid, he should get a lot of run in Derek Dooley's offense. Albert, I'm not going to even try to say his last name. In fact, I just wrote about him today in my top five SEC tight ends, and I just called him okay. That's all I said. His first two letters of his last name are okay, so that's going to be his nickname. Albert okay. He has some talent worth looking at. Isaac Nauta from Georgia could definitely be that third tight end, I think. Five-star guy. I think he was a top recruit, tight end recruit in the nation. Can we just talk about how insane Georgia is?
Georgia should be going for a repeat this year, and they're the most talented 20? Team in the country.
No, it's not. Yeah, I mean, they didn't even lose that much. Who they lose on defense that matters?
Roquan.
That's it, right? You can replace Lorenzo Carter and his one sack or whatever it was, and freaking Davin Bellamy. You can replace those guys in terms of impact. Maybe not upside, but impact at the college level.
Damn, bro.
I don't know, man. I mean, the D line's loaded. They only lost that win on the offensive line, I think. The rest of those guys are back. The center is back. The left guard's back. I know for sure. I think the right tackle's back.
I mean, their running backs are gone, but,
DeAndre Swift is there, and says Elijah Holyfield.
Holyfield and Swift.
I don't know, man. And they've got four of the top 20, 25, I guess, if you extend it for Demetrius Robinson. We really haven't seen much of Demetrius Robertson yet, but he was just declared that he was eligible for the season, that he could play after transferring from Cal. So very good chance, I think, that they end up having four of the top 25 receivers in the country. probably mm-hmm. three of the top 15, 18 receivers in the country. They're tight ends, both of two of them. Blazevich graduated, but they're just loaded. They're loaded top to bottom. That team's unbelievable. If the quarterback takes any step at all, they're easily the best team in the nation. I don't think anybody.
They're going to be even better in 2 or 3 years.
Really?
Yes.
Because the classes are that good.
When Justin Fields and all these 5 stars and 4 stars pan out even more, like, Georgia's going to be untouchable.
Yeah. They'll be the next Bama, you think?
Oh, yeah. They're well on their way already. They should have won last year.
Oh, they should have 100%. We've talked about that a lot on here. I know Bama fans are triggered, but we love you, Bama. Just reality is reality. All right, there you go. There's your top 5 wide receivers and the tight ends that we think are worth watching this season as well. Lots to talk about this week, obviously, that we know there's some names we didn't get to. Wish we could get to everybody, just not possible. But we will try to in the coming months. That's what they are for. We've got Fan Friday. Well, not Fan Friday. A super show tomorrow with the Draft Dudes, Kyle and Joe. That's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a show next week. We're talking offensive line all week. This is what you've been waiting for, Trevor. The chance to prove your well-roundedness as an evaluator. I'm going to let you go first with your takes on every offensive lineman.
Yeah, it ain't going to be pretty.
It's going to be fun. Until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.